Hello there. This is Gain Whitman. I'd like to tell you a little something about what I think is a great radio program, Adventures by Morse. At least I think it's great, and I do know something about it, for I was there. You'll probably recognize me as the narrator or announcer in one of the two of the scenes you'll hear later on. First of all, I want to say that these adventures are mystery stories. And I scarcely need remind you that radio mysteries, detective, and high adventure stories have done and are doing a great job in building audiences, holding them, and selling merchandise by the carload. Take, for example, the outstanding success of such programs as Suspense, The Whistler, Gangbusters, and This Is Your FBI, to mention only a few. In Adventures by Morse, you have all three: mystery, detective thrills, and high adventure. Now, in this type of program particularly, it's the writing that counts. It's the thing. And that's where I want to boast a little bit. You'll undoubtedly recognize the name of the writer: Morse. Carlton E. Morse, author and creator of radio's famous One Man's Family. But I'll let you in on a secret. My friend Carlton has a split personality. For 18 years, he's been warming the hearts of America with his real-life family series. But his true love is mystery, murder, and mayhem. His I Love a Mystery serial, sponsored for years on what was then a minor Pacific Coast network, zoomed Hooper ratings of unpopular time slots from a 3.0 to over 12. He's an acknowledged master of suspense, excitement, and faultless plotting, believe me. And now here's a surprise for you. In addition to all I've told you about adventures, Carlton has added a special gimmick, a hook, to bring back your listeners week after week. Adventures by Morse is in serial form and consists of 8 complete mystery stories spread out over 52 weeks, but carefully designed to fit into the 13-week cycles which has become standard in radio. Why do you suppose the Saturday Evening Post, for example, always carries at least 2 fiction serials at the same time? Of course, you know why. To keep readers buying the magazine week after week, year in and year out. Well, that's precisely why these adventures are serialized. To bring back your listeners from one week to the next. However, a brief synopsis precedes each episode so that a new listener at any time can tune in and enjoy the entire story. Well, I guess I've talked about long enough. I've chatted with you about the advantages of radio mystery drama, the importance of the writing, who the writer is, the serialized hook to hold listeners, and the production. No, I haven't mentioned production. I'll make this short. Adventures was produced by Carlton Morse himself in Hollywood, the radio talent center of the world, and I can honestly assure you that nothing was spared in cost or effort to make this the outstanding mystery drama in radio. Let's take a listen now to a few excerpts from one of the episodes in the first story in the series, called City of the Dead. Here's its chilling opening. Adventures by Morse. Carlton E. Morse presents The City of the Dead, featuring Captain Friday.
If you like high adventure, come with me. If you like the stealth of intrigue, come with me. If you like blood and thunder. Come with me.
That was Captain Friday you heard, the hero of the series, inviting you to come along with him in adventure, mystery, and excitement. Captain Friday, reckless man of courage, head of his own detective agency, and arch foe of the criminal. It's Captain Friday who leads us through the intriguing maze of conspiracy, plot, and counterplot of these adventures. It's Captain Friday who eventually solves the mysteries, traps the criminals, and sees to it that justice is done. Now, in this type of show, you don't have time to hear an entire story. But we'd like for you to hear just how good and exciting it can be. So we're going to give you the opening summary of Episode 5 of City of the Dead and a bit of the dialogue. Here's how it goes. 8 o'clock on the third night in the City of the Dead. In the afternoon of the second day in the old abandoned cemetery, Captain Friday had locked Jimmy Parker and Phyllis Carroll together and had taken his father, the mayor, and old Dr. Tooner to Lammy Fink's cabin on the edge of the cemetery. They had found three bodies in the cellar. One was the strangled body found in old Ernie Morton's grave. The second was the body of the man whom the claw-footed phantom had killed at the back of the mayor's cottage. The third was Lammy Fink. According to Captain Friday, he'd been scared to death.
That's right. And while we were in the cellar examining the bodies, the cabin mysteriously burst into flames and we barely escaped with our lives. The bodies were completely consumed. After this experience, the old mayor, my father, complained of being tired and returned to his cottage inside the gates of the City of the Dead. Dr. Tooler and I went down to the deserted ruins of a church to look for the phantom church bell. In the musty rectory where the bell ringer had hanged himself 10 years before, we found old Clawfoot amusing himself with a human skeleton. But the queer creature with flowing beard and flowing robes got away from us. Returning to the caretaker's cottage, we found my dad upset and Phyllis Carroll with a stab wound in her back just under the shoulder blade. Jimmy Parker had been locked in the room with the girl at the time, but he denied the deed. Then Phyllis regained consciousness and sobbed out, "Oh, Jimmy, why did you stab me?" That was at 2 p.m. Now at 8 p.m, Dr. Tooner is with his patient.
Dr. Tooner, am I going to die?
I reckon you aren't even going to be very sick, Miss Carroll. Just lost your mind of blood, and your wound won't even leave a scar. Feel much better after a little sleep, don't you?
I've been asleep.
Well, sure you have. Here, let me fix that pillow. Lie on your left side just a little. That'll ease that sick shoulder of yours. Look mighty pretty in that outfit, Miss Carroll, with the firelight playing on you.
Oh, I must look terrible. I've been crying so much, but...
Not a bit of it. You look like a young girl should look.
Oh, Dr. Tooner, what would make Jimmy do a thing like that?
No, you'd better let Captain Friday figure that out. That's his business. By the way, he wants to bring Parker in here as soon as you feel like it.
Oh, no, please. I can't face Jimmy after he...
I reckon that'll be necessary, Miss Carroll.
Do I have to see him?
Can't be helped, I'm afraid.
Well, all right, then.
Good. We'll have him in now and get it over with. Captain Friday and his father have Parker in his room giving him a going over. I'll just call him. Hi there, Captain.
That you, Doctor?
Miss Carroll's ready to see you next door.
Good. Come on out, fella. Come on, Mayor.
I'd rather not see Phyllis tonight.
You know, what you want hasn't got anything to do with it. Go on in there and sit down.
Okay. Have it your way, then.
No. I want you facing the girl. Sit in that straight chair.
Yeah, if I'd have known he's going to be all this rumpus, I'd have said take him to the city and lock him up from the first.
Never mind, Mayor. We'll get things straightened out for you in the City of the Dead. I know the reason why. Aren't you ashamed of yourself, Parker?
No, I'm not.
I suppose you only regret that you didn't kill Miss Carroll outright, huh?
Oh, Jimmy.
You look here. I didn't stab Phyllis. How many times do I have to tell you?
From then on, the mystery grows by leaps and bounds as the girl, Phyllis Carroll, accuses her fiancé, Jim Parker, of stabbing her in the back. A reconciliation follows when Captain Friday determines that the knife was hurled at her through an open window by an unidentified person. He is also pretty sure there is a mysterious evil force at work in this City of the Dead and thinks that it may be a phantom-like monster they have nicknamed Clawfoot, some inhuman sort of a thing which wails like a banshee and has claws on its feet. In this episode also, Phyllis reveals the reason for their, well, that is, her and Jim's visit to the cemetery. Her grandfather, believed dead, had instructed his agents to present to her on her 20th birthday, which was just a few days ago, a $500,000 fortune in black pearls. The only catch was, they were buried in one of the graves. It becomes quite obvious that some other folks have stumbled onto this secret, too. And they aren't at all shy about murder and other little gems of crime. Let's pick up the end of this tingling episode where Captain Friday and his friend Doc Tooner and Phyllis are alone in the caretaker's house, and the two men hear a cry that stiffens them with horror.
Miss Carroll, what is it? What's the matter?
Oh, look! Look there by the door!
Well, I'll be a son of a gun. Look, Doc, a visitor.
A skeleton. Captain, what's that thing doing here?
Where'd it come from, Miss Carroll?
I can't get away! Can't get away!
No, Miss Carroll. I don't reckon a skeleton can hurt you much. Supposing you tell us how it got there so we can do something about it.
Well, the door just suddenly opened and the skeleton walked in and collapsed on the floor. And then the door was full closed.
Dang lively skeleton to do that, if you ask me.
Hey, Doc, come here and look at this.
What in the name of Sam Hill are you doing to it, Captain?
Now look, the bones are joined together with pieces of wire.
Now, what sort of monkey business is this?
Here, look, a message tied about its neck.
Message? What did it say?
It says, I have come to you out of the grave marked Theodore Beverly, but I do not belong in his grave. I am not his skeleton.
Theodore Beverly? Why, that's Miss Carroll's grandfather.
My grandfather?
Grab her, Doc. She's fainted.
Well, that's a rather sketchy condensation of the fifth episode in The City of the Dead. But it certainly does give you an idea of the hard-hitting impact, the punch that is written into Adventures by Morse. Believe me, this is a radio technique that will grab off and hold a king-size listening audience. And after all, that's what you want, isn't it? You know, when I get to talking about Carlton Morse as a writer, well, I can't help but get enthusiastic. But to show you further what I mean, here's another excerpt from The City of the Dead. This is the spine-tingling conclusion to Episode 6. Phyllis Carroll and Doc Tooner are alone in the cemetery cottage at night when they hear the hideous wail of the claw-footed thing right on their front porch. Listen.
If that thing outside the door would only go away, I wouldn't feel this way, but... Oh, Dr. Tooner. Dr. Tooner, look. Look at the front door. It's opening.
Gosh sakes, I forgot to lock it.
Oh, hurry. Hurry. Lean against it. Oh, hold it shut. Don't let him get it open.
I've got it. And if I can push it shut, who's out there?
Oh, can't you hold it? Can't you hold it?
I'm trying my dangest. Whoever's on the other side of that door is as strong as an ox.
Oh, it's the claw-footed phantom. You mustn't let him get in. You mustn't. You mustn't.
I can't get any hold with my feet. He's gaining on me. I'm slipping. I'm slipping.
Dr. Tooner, the fireplace poker's on the rack. Can you reach it?
Good. It'll give me something to fight with.
Oh, can you reach it?
Yeah, I got it. I'm going to let go of the door and crack him over the head with the poker when he comes in.
Oh, be careful. Oh, you missed him. Look out, Dr. Tooner. Look out. He's got a knife.
And if he comes within range of this poker,
I'll... Oh, no. No. You killed Dr. Tooner. You killed Dr. Tooner. Oh. Oh, don't. Don't. Go away. Don't look at me like that. Go away. Go away. Oh, don't come near me. Don't come near me. Oh, please. Please go away. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Jimmy! Jimmy! Oh, oh no.
Well, we've had sponsors tell us they bought the show after hearing the first episode, just to find out for themselves how the darn thing turned out. However, I don't think they were serious. But we are serious when we tell you that in Adventures by Morse, we are offering you four priceless ingredients in radio. A mystery show of the type proved over and over again to be highly successful. Writing by Carlton E. Morse. The finest cast and production. And, above all, a hook. Keep your listeners coming back week after week to get a thrill out of the show and to hear your sales messages. Thank you very much. And we hope we'll have the opportunity of proving to you what we have to many others. Adventures by Morse is a great radio show.